Hi, I'm James White, once again, the co-host of the Solution Series brought to you by Solari.com and Corey'sDigs.com. And as we continue to move forward through the Solution Series, we're very appreciative of all the great feedback that we received. We've had some great guests on the broadcast, and today is no different. We're going to be talking about homeopathic medicine and how you can really take stuff that you have maybe even at your own house or in the grocery store, and you can help make elixirs or teas or things to help you heal disease and maladies as the weather gets colder. And we are, of course, always delighted to be joined by our co-host, Corey Lynn, who is the founder of Corey's Digs. Corey, always great to be with you.
It's great to be here. I'm looking forward to this one.
Indeed, indeed. And where I'm going to give our guest, Nancy O'Brien, a quick introduction. Nancy is a retired certified holistic health practitioner. She received her education and certifications from Michigan's Blue Heron Academy in 2007. It is her sincere belief that we each have within us innate wisdom to heal ourselves given the proper guidance regarding lifestyle and nutrition, and we can positively influence our genetic blueprint with balanced nutrition. And quoting Dr. Bruce Lipton, we are not victims of our genes, but masters of our fate. Nancy O'Brien, holistic health practitioner. Thanks so much for joining us here on the Solution Series.
Thank you, Jim. I appreciate the invite and the opportunity. I'm a certified holistic health practitioner, as well as a naturopath, have been trained to work with the body with natural remedies to assist the body to restore and repair itself. Holopathic medicine is wonderful, especially for, say, acute illness, car accidents, falling off the ladder, those accidents that can happen in our lives. Allopathic can, like Humpty Dumpty, put us back together again oftentimes. And for a short period of times, also necessary pharmaceuticals. But that's more acute. And I believe that as far as maintaining long-term health and wellness, we need to work with our bodies, with nutrition, with our lifestyles. And through that, we can keep our health, or if we have lost our health for some reason, restore our health gently. Pharmaceuticals are often very harsh. Natural medicine is very gentle. It takes a little longer. Allopathic medicine, you take an antibiotic and can perhaps feel better in 4 or 5 days. Natural health takes a little bit longer, but it also is gently.
So is it safe to say that allopathic medicine wants to medicate and cut off the cancer or cut off the disease, where holistic medicine takes the whole body into account and tries to work with the foods that we eat and the herbs and things in nature that occur naturally? You try to work with those instead of going to the medication and cutting out the bad part. Is that accurate?
By all means, yes. And it is hard to separate just the body, just the physical, because we are very complicated beings. We are spirit. We are our physical bodies. We are soul. So you can't really touch on one without touching on all of them. We are emotion, and all of that plays into our wellness or lack thereof.
And I think that's so important right now because we're in a spiritual battle, and a mental battle and a physical battle. I mean, we're hitting on all of them, and I think now more than ever, people are really starting to pay attention to their health. They're starting to research things. They're wanting to find the natural remedies. And I think it's also a concern with the supply chain, with people, concerned about being able to get their prescriptions, and what types of, you look at elderly folks and they pretty much, most of them seem to be on at least 5 medicines or more. That's our culture here, unfortunately. And I think there's a lot of things that can be done. And I realize in some people as they get older, it's kind of hard to make a huge diet change and switch at this point. But I think there's a lot people can do at many different age groups And so we thought it would be fantastic to talk with you and kind of touch on some various different tips and tricks and things people can do. And one of my first questions is, you know, I've had friends or family members that are trying to get prescriptions and stuff, and then there's delays and they can't get their refills yet. And so I feel like, if possible, people should try to maybe wean themselves off of that over onto more natural remedies if they can. You know, obviously I'm not a doctor, but like what types of things, what comes to mind when you think about whether it's fatigue or pain or blood pressure or some different things that people could maybe do for these different types of issues that many of us are battling without necessarily having to get, you know, go to a doctor and get a prescription, where they could eat, whether it's they grow it or they go to their grocery store, like James said, just anything that comes to mind that you think would be some stuff that people should keep in their house right now, some items that could be handy for many different, you know, issues going on.
Many illnesses, and I think we probably, most of us are aware of this, are caused due to inflammation. So we have to get to the core and ask ourselves, what is causing the inflammation? And there are natural and very often inexpensive remedies. One of them would be vitamin D. And that's the sunshine vitamin. And it's free. Right now here in Montana, it is snowing, so I won't be sitting out in the sunshine today by any means. sunshine, again, vitamin D, reduces inflammation. And just 15 minutes a day, exercise reduces inflammation. If we can get out and go for a walk, if weather permits, if we can ride our bicycles, go for a swim, whatever you can do as far as exercise in a particular part of the country. We can try to reduce stress. We can spend time in prayer and meditation. We can spend time having fun. Many of us have forgotten how to laugh, especially.
That's so true.
We've forgotten how to have fun. So we should have fun with our spouses, our significant others, our children, our dogs and cats, our friends and neighbors. We should get engaged. I think all of us always feel better after, you know, if we've been to a meeting of like-minded folks, and that interaction, that connection that we have with others is healing and reduces our stress.
Excellent point.
Therapies, having something as inexpensive, easy, simple as lemon oil or lavender oil to diffuse into the air to help calm us. Sitting down and reading a good book, turn off the TV, turn off the computer. Most of us are on the computers quite a large portion of the day. But take a break from it. At night, turn off the Wi-Fi. If you're able to unplug that Wi-Fi and let your body have a break from all that electrical frequency that we are surrounded in. There are herbs that reduce inflammation and therefore stress. And if we get rid of the stress, often we can begin to heal our bodies because we are getting rid of the inflammation.
That's a good.
Go ahead, Corey.
Okay, so I just have to share a quick story. So I have spine issues, and years ago I went to a Chinese herbalist. We call it, you know, a tea lady, and she immediately said, sensed this in me, and she said, "You have a lot of inflammation. You need to get off the peppers, tomatoes, potatoes, like the natural inflammatory type foods." Yes. which I wasn't even aware of at that point in time. And then she put together this concoction of, twigs and bark and barks and herbs and leaves. And I would brew it in this pot for like 24 hours. And it was horrific to drink, but let me tell you, 3 months of that and I was golden. So there are a lot of, those terracotta pots where you brew it and you'll drink it for 6 days and then you take one day off. That stuff's like a miracle drug. And it's all natural herbs and bark and whatnot. So I totally agree though. The inflammation is definitely a major cause, probably in a lot more things than I'm aware of.
You had something to say, Jim? Did you have a question?
I did. Thank you very much for that, Nancy. I wanted to know, just to swing back, you talked about vitamin D. Yes. You talked about how important it is to get the sun. And here in Montana, as you know, we don't have a whole lot of sunny days. Can people go to a tanning booth and get sun instead? Is that, I've heard mixed reactions. That's harmful. That's not harmful. That's different kind of rays. Is that, can you sort of let us know, is that a good alternative to go to a tanning booth?
Very much so. Yes, it is a good alternative. It is something certainly we don't want to abuse. Once or twice a week, 10, 15 minutes per application, I think it's just fine. Moderation. Don't burn, but if you're only in the tanning booth for 10 or 15 minutes once or twice a week, you're not going to burn. And there are vitamin D for supplements. Probably many of us are already on them, and they're good. I'm not going to put down vitamin D supplements, but actually being outside and being exposed to the ultraviolet rays that the sun provides us is a wonderful, much more healing than just taking a supplement. The other thing we need to keep in mind is if we're going to be out in the sun, and we have the opportunity, also put your feet in the grass. It's called grounding and or earthing. Put your feet in the sun if you live in one of the warmer coastal climates. Spend some time maybe walking along the beach and connecting with the earth. Again, if you can't do that, sit in your lawn. Just put your feet, bare feet, on the grass and maybe read a book or pray, meditate. Spend time with your neighbor. Invite your neighbor over to sit in the yard and have a cup of coffee and spend time with someone else, sharing and caring. So vitamin D, as far as that goes, the sun is the best, but yes, there are alternatives. That's a good question, Jim.
So you hear a lot of times, Nancy, pardon me, that a lot of disease starts in the gut. That is where that your intestines, your colon is where a lot of disease starts. How can we, I mean, if that's where a lot of disease starts, wouldn't that be a place that you'd want to focus a lot of attention as far as prevention? And I don't, what things can you take that would help strengthen your gut and sort of, because if that is where most disease starts, we want to sort of arrest it at the source, or, you know, take an axe to the root, if you will. Can you help us know what we can do to help get our gut in good shape?
Well, that's a tough one, Jim, and this is often the conundrum for a naturopath, somebody that is encouraging natural medicine, because often that means a change of diet, and it is very difficult to convince someone to change their diet. Even if they're sitting and having my own clinic for 10 years, sitting across the desk from me, and my recommending some dietary changes, very few people want to make those dietary changes. Some are, but very ill. Some will be committed for a few months and then go back to old habits. It's a plethora of things, Jim. It starts when our children are very young. We teach Janie or Johnny, you've been a good little boy or a good little girl, so have some candy. Have a popsicle. Have a cookie. when you come home from school, you know, to do well in school today, again, you'll have Oreos and milk, you know, whatever that reward is. It starts with that, which is part of the issue. It also, this is my particular belief. I'm not saying it is yours or the Solari Report belief. I believe vaccines at such a young age to our children are also a problem with their digestive tract. When the child is even developing in the womb, the toxins that the mother is exposed to can harm a child. We now know, studies have been done at the state of Michigan, that when they test the umbilical cord after a child is born, there are already over 200 toxins in that umbilical cord.
Wow. So what can parents do then to make this shift? Because I feel like our audience is, they're pretty aware of most of this, and they're probably a little more willing to make the dietary changes. So what would be some good things as far as, you know, for digestive aid, for example? I mean, we have what, ginger or turmeric or cayenne pepper, or what types of, well, and also you look at right now, you've got so many labels saying, I just saw one today, in fact, that Hellmann's mayonnaise now says it contains bioengineered food ingredients. So we're starting to see that on a lot more labels. And I think people are almost going to be boxed in and cornered to say, oh my gosh, I absolutely have to change my diet at this point. So.
And Corey, that would be a wonderful thing. I hope people have finally gotten there to begin to question, because we have just gone by faith that the companies that are producing our food or the restaurants that are producing our food have our best interest at heart, and that is often not the case.
Right.
GMOs have been around for 20, 25 years, the genetically modified organisms. But even prior to that, after World War II, which we know during wartime, many biochemicals are produced. And as a result of that, Roundup Ready was developed. It was brought back after World War II.
Right.
And it has been sprayed on our crops for many years. Also, what we see is monocropping. You see these huge, I mean, acre after acre of farms growing one crop, just corn or just wheat or just soybeans.
Right.
That's not good for our soil. When our farmers do replenish the soil before they plant the next year's crop, they only put in two or three minerals. So our soil is mineral deficient.
Right. So what sort of solutions can we provide for people with this?
Okay. What we need to do is put those minerals back in our body. We know they're not in our foods for the most part. So we need to supplement with minerals. I have always recommended, and you can get them at your local health food store, minerals that are food derived, and it will tell you on the label if it is food derived. That's what our body is looking for.
Are you talking about the liquid ones where you put like the drops in your tea, or are you talking supplements, or what kind of minerals?
There are 92 essential minerals that our body needs in order to rebuild and restore.
Okay.
And so it can come in a tablet, it can come in a capsule and or a liquid, whatever your preference would be. So Standard Process is an excellent supplement company, as well as Biotics Research is also an excellent supplement company. I trust them. I trust Mike Adams. I trust what Dr. Mercola also provides in his store. So there are a few trusted voices, but keep in mind the majority of our supplements and even many of our herbs come from China. So I would also look to see where the vitamin mineral was made and where they sourced their ingredients. Right. Something made here in the U.S.
Absolutely.
Nancy, if we were to look in your preparedness cabinet, or if we were to look into your section where you have the stuff that you have put aside, and we don't want you to give up any, you know, any of your specifics, but what kind of stuff would we see if we opened up your preparedness cabinet or your preparedness closet? What kind of things would you have in there as far as remedies concerned? Do you put stuff aside to make herbs like at a later time, or let us know how that works with you.
I have a mixture of a little bit of everything. I have herbs. I have aromatherapy. I have the French homeopathics. If you can see it, they look like a little sugar pill. Can you see that? So these are homeopathics. They come from France. Those are in my repertoire, as well as dried herbs that, yes, I can use to make an infusion. I can also make a poultice out of them. There are many herbs, and you make a poultice. Let's say you get burned. You could put it on a burn. If you get a wound after it heals and you get a stab, you could put a poultice on to, let's say, encourage the healing. I have colloidal silver. In fact, I have a colloidal silver maker. I would recommend that everyone have a colloidal silver maker as part of their emergency kit. Colloidal silver acts as an antibiotic. I don't recommend that we take it every day, but I certainly recommend that if we feel we're coming down, let's say toothache, earache, sore throat, if we believe that maybe we got a cut and we have an infection, we can use silver either internally or externally. And that's wonderful. And that's, when you get the kit, you get little sterling silver threads, and then you make your own in distilled water. Of course, I don't know if we want to touch on this, but the Mineral Miracle solution from Jim Humble. But it was not encouraged by the government. Jim Humble was run out of the country. And he can now only sell his product as an industrial cleaner. But handled properly, you can take it internally. I have taken it for infected teeth.
So Nancy, what are a couple of books that you recommend as far as herbs for medicinal plants, edible tinctures, that type of thing, and or essential oils? What do you recommend, or what do you like to reference?
One of my favorites, I'll hold it up if that works, is the Complete.
Oh, I have that one.
Do you really?
I do. That's a great one.
It's a wonderful book. It's easy to understand. It's easy for beginners. You don't have to have schooling. As long as you can read, you can understand all the essential oils in here and the mixtures and many options, which is what I like. It's not just one oil. It can be a blend of two or three different, because we don't always have 100 oils on hand.
Right. Can you read do you mind reading the title off of that? Sure. Just so people listening know?
It's the Complete Book of Essential Oils and Aromatherapy.
And the that's
author by is Valerie Ann Warwood.
Yeah, that's a good one.
It's an excellent book, and it touches on just about every modern ailment that we have. Another one that I think would probably be an excellent resource for your listeners, took my paper out of here, is the Edible and Medicinal Plants. This happens to be of the Rockies, because of course this is where I live. Mm-hmm. But they have these books. Let's see, the author is Linda Kershaw, KERSHAW. But they have these books for the different parts of our nation and Canada. And it has beautiful illustrations. So it would encourage you You see that? It would encourage you folks to forage. So we can go out in our yard or a forest nearby, and we can identify these plants. And with the identification of the plant, we can then make a medicinal. So we can make, a lot of times the easiest is an infusion, which is to take the leaves or the stem, the root, depending upon the plant, and steep it, like you had shared earlier, Corey, steep it in water, let it sit 15, 20 minutes at least, sometimes overnight, again, depending upon the plant and the strength of the tincture or the infusion, and then sip it slowly, sip it throughout the day. So I think that I would want to encourage people to start learning how to identify medicinal plants, and they are everywhere. I don't care where you live. They are everywhere. They will be different, of course. What we have here in the Rocky Mountains, it will be different what is available in, say, Texas or Florida or California.
Right.
They are there. So if we can learn to identify them, we can make our own medicines. And this goes back, again, thousands of years. We have treated ourselves with the plants for thousands of years. It's only been about the last 100, maybe 125, 150 years that we have been introduced to pharmaceuticals. And mm-hmm. The pharmaceuticals are often petroleum-based.
Yeah.
Plant material. And often most, I'm sure as you and your audience are aware, most of our pharmaceuticals are made in China.
Right. So, if I can interject something with the essential oils, and I know you have one favorite recipe you wanted to share as well, but it's powerful stuff. I started using essential oils, gosh, like 20, 30 years ago. And not just on humans, but my dog. So I had a dog that was old, and she had arthritis in her legs. And so one day I flip open my book and I'm like, you know what? I'm going to whip up a recipe. Can I, you know, and I looked up to make sure I could use these specific oils on a dog, and I mixed it up, and I kid you not, I laid her down on a towel because I knew it was going to get messy. Right. So you put on like rubber gloves because you got to get it really in there under the hair, so it gets into the skin and absorbs. So I'm walking up to her and I have this mixed in a bowl. And as I walked up to her, and she was a heavy girl, she literally leaned over slightly and lifted her leg just upon smelling it. Like she instinctually knew I was coming over to put this on her leg. I'm like, oh my gosh. So I did it and she loved it. And so I started doing it like two or three times a week, and it helped her. It made her feel better, you know?
I have used natural remedies on all of our animals, as well as myself, my spouse, my children. And yes, I do have some favorite herbs readily available, and some favorite aromatherapy. And I don't know if most of the audience is familiar with what is now known as the common name is Thieves Blend.
Mm-hmm.
So the idea is during the Black Plague, there were a group of thieves in Europe that once someone had passed, they would rob the body of everything that was valuable on it, whether it was rings, earrings, watches, whatever. And they did not get sick. So when they were finally caught by the authorities, they were asked and told that they would be given a more lenient sentence if they shared their secret as to why they could touch the bodies of the dead that had the Black Plague and not get sick. So this is the combination of essential oils that, again, I don't know if this is true or if this is just urban legend. Corey and Jim, I really don't know. But these are the essential oils that are used in the blend. So we have clove bud oil, lemon oil, cinnamon bark oil, eucalyptus, and rosemary. And I will be glad to send this paperwork to you, Jim, and it gives the recipe for how much of each oil. You can make a large batch or you can make a small batch. From there are many different applications. You can mix it in a little bit of a carrier oil, because the cinnamon and the clove are considered what are hot oils, meaning that they could be hot on the skin, warm on the skin. And so you take a few drops of this blend once you put it together, and you could mix it in an oil you have at home on hand, maybe coconut oil or olive oil, almond oil, something that you already have probably in your cupboard. And you can mix it on the bottom of your feet, put on a pair of socks, and you will absorb the healing properties of those essential oils through the bottom of your feet. If you want to, you can diffuse it into the air. There are so many applications with this. If you have a sore tooth, you could actually put a drop on your toothbrush and brush your teeth with it. If you have a sore throat, you can gargle with it. It also kills germs. It's wonderful for if we're concerned about pathogens, either on our hands, on doorknobs, on our countertops. We can put it in a spray with maybe rubbing alcohol or vodka, or even distilled water if we don't have the other two, and spray it on surfaces to kill the germs.
Speaking of feet, you had mentioned something to us when we talked the other day about aluminum foil.
Yes.
Tell us about that. I always love fun new little tips.
This was shared by a gentleman that was actually in the Navy, because they do this on Navy ships, although they don't use aluminum foil. They happen to have, especially the captain, will have his own personal sheet of stainless steel. But aluminum foil will do the same thing. So you take, rip off a piece that's maybe 12, 14 inches long, and stand on that at the end of the day after we've been exposed all day long to these electrical frequencies that we are bombarded with. And it will diffuse all that excess electrical energy, because we are beings that have frequencies. Actually, our whole world has frequencies.
Yep.
The globe pulses with frequencies. Mm-hmm. Our trees, our animals, and that includes us. Anything that is living, a blade of grass, has a frequency, and it is all to work in harmony. And unfortunately, some of our modern conveniences can cause disharmony, like Wi-Fi,
right?
EMF, these electromagnetic fields. So that's why, if possible, we can reduce our exposure to EMF. There are tablets, little tablets, we've probably all seen them, that you can put on your computer, which are, they don't get rid of the frequencies, but they diffuse them so that they aren't harmful.
How about these glasses, Nancy? Can you see it? These are the blue glasses that you put on, and it helps diffuse the blue light from your computer screen. These are.
And I wear mine. I have reading glasses, and so I have the blue light in mine. And it was funny, because when I went to my eye doctor and he told me about this, I said, I'm on my computer like 10 hours a day. I start getting aches around my eyes and they just get tired. And he said, why don't you try blue light? And I said, what's that? So I got a prescription with the blue light in it, which you can actually get the readers with blue lights. They sell now too. But at any rate, I get home and I'm like looking through them. I go, there's no difference. I see no difference. There's nothing in these. And they're like, just give it a couple weeks and see how you feel. And it completely took care of it. Now I have a friend who says it didn't help her at all, but it helps me tremendously. I don't get the eye aches anymore.
You're sleeping better.
Yeah. So so back to the aluminum foil, you're saying how long do you stand on it for?
Oh, 60 seconds, not long. Stand on
That's it?
Brushing your teeth. Yes.
And bare feet, right? And bare feet, right? You have to have bare feet.
Stocking feet, that'll work too. Yes, sir. Yeah. Don't keep your shoes on.
So something I have is a PEMF mat, a pulsed electromagnetic frequency mat. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And they're not cheap. They're not cheap. I got it a while back because I have, you know, with my spine and everything, I have some issues, and I've been working with energy for years and frequencies, so I understand it, and it's fantastic. You know, you do it like in the morning and at night, and then if you have specific injuries, frequencies, good frequencies are very healing. And yes, you're right. We are completely bombarded. And I mean, you can just see that by looking at what's happened with the birds and the butterflies and the bees and all of that. It's just, it's incredible, but yay 5G, let's bring on some more. You know what I wanted? Go ahead.
I'm not even sure that 5G is going to be around long. I think they just might skip ahead to 6G.
Quite possible.
That's what I heard. That's what I heard too. Yeah.
Definitely have an effect upon us. And Dr. Klinghardt, I'm not sure if you're familiar with Dietrich Klinghardt. He's also a German physician, but he does have a clinic here in the U.S. in Seattle. And he believes that the EMF exposure to a mother when she's carrying her child may mm-hmm. also be not the total cause, but a part of the problem with some of these children that develop autism, Asperger's, or some of these challenges. Because the EMF is bombarding that fetus in the womb, we know that our children, when they are born, do not have a strong skeletal form. Obviously, they have a skeleton, and it's strong, but it gets stronger and denser as they mature. So with their skull being thinner, exposed to EMF and Wi-Fi is even more harmful to them than it is to us as adults. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, so it's important that if you have Wi-Fi in your house, you know, unplug it completely night when you sleep. Don't sleep with the phone in the room. Like when you do use your phone, if you still are using a cell phone, try to use speakerphone. Don't carry it against your body. And there's all kinds of products out there, but you really got to be careful as far as like the different Faraday cages and the different things for blocking, because I had purchased a couple Faraday bags and tested them and they didn't work for crap. And then I finally did get a good one, and darn it, I can't think of where I got it from right now, but you really got to test these things and make sure they're working, you know?
No, I had a similar experience. I bought a pouch for my phone, and I put my phone in it. And of course, my husband dialed my phone number and it rang. Okay, that didn't work.
Right. Yeah. So a good one, I can't remember the brand that I got, but it's about 6 inches by maybe 8 or 9 inches. And you can fit a couple phones in there, and it velcros, it rolls down and then velcros. And it was like $45, but it works. So you know, what were you going to say, Jane?
Might have those is Alex Jones. Mm-hmm. I believe he still has some of the bags. For
that work?
Yes.
Okay.
For your computer, your iPad, or your phone. I believe he has the bags that are actually effective.
Okay.
You mean like in a store, you mean? Like in a store, Nancy?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. I had forgot what I was going to say.
Let me bring up cayenne pepper for a minute, because I feel like cayenne pepper is like duct tape. It has so many uses, and I would love to hear from you what uses you think, because I know it can be used for digestive aid and with fasting, but something I did once again, because of the muscle issues I have, And this is going to sound crazy, but my chiropractor actually suggested this and it works phenomenal. And I've had other people try it and they're like, wow, this is incredible. So I would take a tablespoon of cayenne pepper, mix it in a bowl with warm water, put on rubber gloves, soak it all into a washcloth, lay it across my neck and shoulders. And then I would put a towel over that just to keep the heat in, and then tin foil over that. And within about 5 minutes, you start feeling like you're on fire, and then it goes numb and you sit there for 20 minutes and it's like, it opens up. I don't know. Is it like it opens up the capillaries or the blood vessels or something? And then it just allows this flow and it loosens everything up, and you do not want to get in the shower right afterwards. It's like getting in a shower after a sunburn, but you just take a damp cloth and wipe it off afterwards. But it's incredible. There's so many incredible things you can do with cayenne pepper.
Yes.
So I would stock up on that. And I'm just wondering what cool remedies you might be aware of with cayenne pepper.
It's very good for the heart, but again, because it's opening the capillaries, most of my exposure is the heart health and using that herb. And often you can get it in a combination if you buy it from your health food store versus make it yourself. You can get in a combination that's heart healthy to keep things flowing. And, you know, going back to your earlier question, I believe, Jim, about the gut, your earlier comments, many of us, we lead a very fast life, it's fast paced. We spend a lot of time going to and fro, our jobs and the stress. And so we want something to eat quick, right? We're on the road. We very often stuff our faces while we're driving. So we go through a fast food restaurant and we are eating food that is not only just lower in quality, it is full of sugar and unhealthy fat. And that is part of the reason for so many gut issues today. We need to really start reading labels. We need to take the responsibility for our own health. And that would include going to even if we're at the health food store, reading labels, avoid soy. Now, if it's organic in small amounts, it's probably okay. We need to avoid the PUFAs. They convinced grandma years ago that she needed to stop using lard in her pie crust and start using Crisco instead. And Crisco is still available at the grocery store on the shelf. And that, in my humble belief, is what causes all the current day heart disease.
Hydrogenized vegetable oil, basically.
Hydrogenated, yes, sir. If you could see a video on how these hydrogenated oils are made, it almost makes you nauseous. Of course, before they clean it up and it turns yellow, and then it's this golden oil, like that corn oil or safflower, or the oil that sits on the shelf and never spoils. That is, again, this is my humble belief, that is what is the crux behind modern day heart disease. Just 120 years ago, heart disease was almost unheard of.
So what oil would you use? I mean, you've heard of olive oil. I've heard that canola oil isn't even really from canolas. It's completely almost a toxic.
And cooking with animal fat, right? Would be better.
Definitely. And again, that goes back to Ansel Keynes and his study on fats, but he had an agenda. And so when he did his research, he used the research that proved his agenda and pretty much ignored the research that did not prove his agenda. And so we were on this, you know, low-fat craze. We as a country certainly, and it probably has trickled into other foreign countries, have this low-fat, so no-fat craze. And That started, I believe, probably in the 70s, 60s, 70s. Look around us now. Okay, so we've seen this unfold over 50 years. Has it helped?
We're fatter than ever. We're fatter than ever in this country, Nancy.
Right.
That is exactly right. This no fat has not been the truth. It has been a lie.
Right.
So getting grandma to stop using lard was a mistake, for she didn't know. My mother didn't know.
My parents still have Crisco in their pantry.
That's probably because of a marketing. It's probably because it's got great marketing. That's why, right? I mean, for crying out loud. Well, as we have a point here where, you know, they're talking about supply chain issues and, you know, diesel fuel and who knows what's going to happen. But let's say that, you know, we just want to be prepared regardless. What would you have? What would you go out and buy right now? I know there's no panacea, but we talked about, of course, you know, cayenne pepper. You can go and get those little things of cayenne pepper. They're not that expensive. You can just buy just a gross of them for
peroxide, alcohol.
Yeah. What things would you get? What would you stock up before the rush starts? Because when this starts getting, everybody's going to rush to the store and want to get these things. What would you have right now to be prepared for that rush?
I would have olive leaf extract. You can buy it either as a tincture. If your folks are familiar with what a tincture is, this is a tincture. So it's a bottle. It has the dropper. And the liquid is usually brown, maybe sometimes a little greenish. And the directions will tell you how much to take. And I'll be honest with you, most of the time the tinctures do not taste good because they're made from herbs. They're a little bitter, but they are effective. So I would start with olive leaf extract, either in a tincture or in a tablet, a capsule. It's every Italian grandmother's remedy. If you've got a sniffle, a sore throat, just probably about any ailment, your grandmother or mother would go out in the backyard and pick olive leaves off the tree, and she'd begin by making you a tea with that. And often nothing else would be required. A couple of days of drinking an infusion of olive leaf extract and we'd be good to go. If it's a little bitter, add a little honey. Local honey is good for us, in moderation. I would make sure it's raw honey, so I would stock up on that as well. Honey does not go bad. It might get a little solidified, but that doesn't mean it's spoiled. So if we want to make a tincture or an extract, an infusion tastes a little better, add some honey. Garlic, we can grow on our deck in a pot during the summertime or in our yard, obviously.
How long does this stay good for? How long do those cloves stay good for? Are they for a long time?
Oh, the capsules or the tinctures?
No, like the garlic cloves. If you say buy garlic, what about the bulbs? Do they stay good for a while?
You have to store it properly, like you would store, remember, the root cellars that everybody used to have. And usually you would have a box or a basket, and often you would put hay, straw in layers, and then you would maybe put a few of the bulbs and then another layer of hay or straw, just as a cushion. And keep it in a cool, dry place. You can also get garlic. If you walked into your health food store today, you could get it in bulk, in the bulk section, dry. And that will keep for pretty much easily, probably 10 years and still be, because it's dried out, it'll keep just fine. Onions. That's something often we can grow in our gardens. We probably could even grow it on
Hold on, Nancy. So are there medicinal? I never heard of, are there medicinal benefits to onions? I've never heard of any medicinal benefits.
So the same family, the allium family, A-L-L-I-U-M. Yes, there's a lot of medicinal properties in onions. And think of every grandmother, when grandma hears that you've got a cold or a cough, she brings over chicken noodle soup. And so you've got the onions and the garlic and the celery and, of course, the chicken broth and the chicken meat. And usually she has cooked that with the chicken skin on it, which also has antimicrobial benefits in the chicken skin. So she brings over a pot of soup for her grandbaby, Ginny, and a couple of days of that, and you're feeling much better. So, I mean, broth is something else, and now we can get it dried. And obviously, we can also get it liquid in, let's say, a box, and that will often keep a couple of years. But you can also get now bone broth and or collagen dried and in a canister. I myself buy a brand called Bulletproof. If you're familiar with David Asprey, I'm pronouncing his name right. But also, I think Dr. McCullough has a bone broth, and perhaps Mike Adams. There are several good ones out there. So have bone broth on here.
What does that do? What does bone broth do, please?
Bone broth has the mineral. I mean, make your own, too. Bone broth has all the minerals that the first animal ingested in what it was fed. And then those minerals, when we make bone broth, come out of the bone and into the broth itself. So if you have chicken for dinner and you eat the meat, of course, but save the bones, put them in a freezer baggie and put them in your freezer and accumulate them, let's say, over a few weeks or months as you eat whole chicken. And then when your spouse is ready or you are ready, get your big old crock pot out and put all the bones in the crock pot. Put in some pure water. If you want to, throw in some onion and garlic and celery and let that crock pot stew 24, 48 hours. And at the end
that
of it,
that long? 48? Wow, that long.
You have a beautiful, healthy broth that is full of nutrients. That, again, is assuming that we're getting our bones from healthy animals. So, again, that goes back to knowing the source. Get to know your local farmer. And that is a bit of advice that I think we would all heartily agree on. Try to buy local. Get to know, go to farmer's market. I love the farmer's market. Talk to the farmers. Tell the farmers how much you appreciate them. Farmers work so hard and are very often living on a shoestring, even though they're working 24 hours a day, 365. So we need to support our farmers, let them make a decent living, and also show them that we appreciate that they are willing to work so hard to provide a healthy food for our table and for our families, because that's what keeps us healthy. So another thing I would have in my cupboard, Jim, would be grape seed extract. The seeds of the grapes, we've all probably heard of resveratrol. We're told the benefits of wine. There's that, what they call the French paradox. Why are the French so healthy? Even though they eat all these rich sauces, why are they so healthy? Well, told that part of it is the wine that they drink, and it's not necessarily the wine itself, but it's the grape seed. So you don't have to drink the wine. You can buy grape seed extract and have that in your cupboard. Again, same properties. It's antimicrobial. So parasites, viruses, bacteria, it will go into your body and gently, what it stops the microbial from doing is replicating. So, and we all know that bacteria replicates. When it gets into our body and it finds the proper environment, it'll begin to replicate. And so it stops that replication properly. Then our immune system can go in and can remove the pathogen that is now deceased and remove it from our bodies, you know, feces, urine, sweat. So that's one of the benefits of herbs, is they have so many different applications. Let's see, another one. What else would I? Oil of oregano.
That's right. Yeah. The Mac Daddy right there, oil of oregano.
Yes. And I know it tastes terrible. That's why I buy it in a tablet. Some people can take it as a tincture, but it is very strong. So I usually can't get it past my nose. Although what I will do with the tincture is I will take a couple of drops. I will mix it in a little oil, and I'll put that too on the bottom of my feet. If you come down with a sore throat, runny nose, headache, and you think, oh, I think a cold's coming on, you get out the oil of oregano, you take a couple of drops, mix it with your coconut oil, olive oil, whatever you have on hand, and put it on the bottom, maybe just the size of a quarter on the bottom of your feet, put on a pair of socks, go to bed. You will feel better in the morning if it, maybe 2 days, but it will definitely, again, but it's not just colds or flu. It's many different pathogens. Parasites also.
There you go with the, Nancy, there you go with the feet again. There you go. Why is it that with the running around the feet thing? I mean, you said that like several times. What's the deal?
You know what? The toxins. So what is that called, Nancy? A friend of mine used to do, she would do biofeedback and energy work on me. And she had one of those machines, and I put my feet in it, and it literally could determine that I smoked and all these different things. I'm like, I can't believe how accurate this is. And it's like it pulls the toxins out of your feet.
Like a foot bath, right?
Yeah, but it's called something else. It was very precise. I was shocked.
And Dietrich Klinghardt is a big fan of the foot bath. And he said in the beginning, he thought it was kind of hocus pocus because you'll see the water change colors. In fact, the water can look pretty ugly.
Uh-huh.
And in the beginning, he thought it was just maybe sort of marketing. But he said when he tested people's urine and or blood 24 hours later after the foot bath, he realized that they were shedding heavy metals. It was pulling out the heavy metals.
Wow, that's fantastic. Because that's what they think causes Alzheimer's. One of the main things that causes Alzheimer's is that buildup of heavy metals in your body, and you can't get rid of it. That's fantastic. I didn't know that.
Well, the other thing is, too, is I think it's harsh for like someone like me. I would find a heavy metal detox where I would ingest it to be very harsh on me. Yes. So if there was a way to do that through the foot bath, but if you were to do that on your own at home and get some sort of device that's affordable, what do you recommend an easy way for someone to kind of do their own foot bath soak at home?
Well, you need that electrical current. So most of the foot bath, even the, what I guess what it might be considered a cosmetic at home foot bath, and they might be $100, but it would still have the same effect. That electrical current, you put a little salt in it. I would use pure water. Please, I mean, that's a whole other subject, but many of our municipal waters are
barely fit for consumption. Let's just say it like it is. They're barely fit for consumption. I mean,
Okay, thank you. And if there's already contaminants in our municipal water, we don't want that. So, and you don't have to go to the expense of possibly distilled. If you have a Berkey water filter, that's another thing, Jim, in my emergency stash.
Me too.
A Berkey water filter. I want to be able to filter even my well water. I am on a well, but so it's nice and clean, but it does have some heavy iron in it. So I want to use my Berkey to get that iron out. And then if I have a Berkey and a way to purify my water, I would use that in a foot bath, and then you add a little sea salt. You see, that's the other thing we can talk about when we're talking about heart. Most of us were brought up, and I'll just say the name brand because I don't know another, but the Morton salt. Remember the cute little girl with the umbrella? It pours even when it rains. That is not a healthy salt. And when our doctors tell us that we need to reduce our salt and have a low salt diet, that's the salt they are referring to.
Iodized salt?
Well, it's not even the fact so much, Jim, that it's iodized. It's the chemical makeup of that particular brand of salt.
Okay.
What we want is natural sea salt. So we can either get the Himalayan salt, or we can get the, it's called real salt. You can get it here at your health food store. It comes from Utah, and they have huge deposits of what was at one time water. And now the water has left, and but it left behind the salt deposits. You can actually, if you want to go on vacation, you could go there. They'll take you down in the mines.
Salt flats. Yep. Salt flats and everything. Yep.
Yes, they'll show you how they harvest it. So real salt is that's what your body needs. That's what your body is looking for. And that
plus, you can preserve stuff with it. Plus, you can use it to preserve things. I mean, that was one of the most valuable thing back in the old days. That was one of the most valuable things to have is salt, because there's so many uses of salt.
Well, even the Roman soldiers, I've read, even at one time, the Roman soldiers were paid in salt.
Right. Yeah, I heard that as well. See, we're coming towards the end of the podcast here, but I'd like to know, if we can, what would you leave people, if you could have the folks that listen to this podcast, if you give them two or three things that they could do right away that would be beneficial, whether it be growing herbs on their counter, at their home, whether it be, and we didn't even really touch the immune system, because that's really is sort of the key to everything. Is having a strong immune system means you have a healthy life. It's not rocket science. So give us a few things, Nancy, if you can, before we go, if you leave something with the folks so they can begin to start changing their health right away.
But wait, I have one more question, if you can work this into your answer. Because a lot of people are dealing with respiratory issues and mucus issues. So as far as any natural remedies for that, for building up those systems, or, whether it's preventative or, that would be great too.
We need to keep in mind, because often what we have been led to believe is not always accurate. Mucus is our friend. The idea of mucus is to protect us, actually. So when we are exposed to chemicals in the air, when we're exposed to pollutants, heavy metals, things that are in the air, and we breathe them in, and we develop mucus. What that mucus is trying to do is stop that toxin from getting further into our tissue.
Hmm.
So therefore, after the mucus builds up for a while, first we will blow our nose, and we get out now that mucus that is holding those pathogens, those toxins, or maybe we cough it up, we might sneeze. So and I know it might be uncomfortable to have the mucus, but keep in mind it's your friend. Just like if we have diarrhea, it is not wise, unless it goes on for several days, it's not wise to suppress diarrhea. We get that and also vomiting, because our body is trying to rid us of a pathogen.
So now, someone says to get Mucinex or something to stop the congestion, that might not be such a good idea.
I agree.
Ah, okay.
So you could take a hot bath, put Epsom salts in the bath, and let then the Epsom salts, which we absorb through our skin, and it will help to remove the toxins. And also that steam is good for us. We can also get a bowl of hot water, lean over it, maybe put a blanket or a towel over our head. Breathe in that warm water. We could put some eucalyptus in the warm water, breathe that in, and diffuse eucalyptus. If you don't have a diffuser, you can use an old pot or pan, put a couple drops in water and diffuse that on your stove, or diffuse it in your tea kettle. So eucalyptus is wonderful. Again, going back to put the eucalyptus maybe on your lymph glands. We have a lymph system that is responsible for pulling out and carrying out all the toxins. But unlike our circulatory system, there's nothing to pump it. There's no
That's pump. Right. There's no pump.
We need new movement. That's why exercising is so important. Wherever we bend our elbows, the back of our knees, our neck, wherever we bend, we have lymph glands. And those lymph glands, their job is to, let's say, store a toxin. I don't know if ever, as children, you ever got swollen lymph glands. It's storing a toxin. If that happens, you can put a little essential oil, mix that with a carrier oil, and massage those glands. Some women that have had cancer of the breast and have had a breast removed often will develop swollen glands under their armpit that are huge and very sore, and often they can't lift their arm up or down. If they also would do the same thing, if they would massage gently those lymph glands. Selenium is wonderful for women that have swollen lymph glands under their armpits, and usually again due to surgery. Lost my train of thought. Oh, okay. So going back to the lymph, do an exercise that appeals to you and you'll be consistent with. I don't mean you have to go to the gym and lift weights unless that's what you love to do. Ride a bike, swim.
Even walking.
Hike. Yes. Whatever you will be consistent with and do one or two times a week. Take the dog, take the kids, go with your significant other and talk. Because so often, again, even when we're home, maybe the TV's going or the radio is going or we're watching something on a computer, which is fine. But if we go out with our children or our significant others and there's no distractions, so we can actually talk to one another. How was your day, dear? Talk to the kids. What did you learn in school today? You know, those sort of things. Connect. We need, as spiritual beings, we need to connect with other people. That's part of what I think has harmed our society over the last two and a half years. This virus has tried to pull us apart and isolate us. And it hasn't been good for the human psyche.
I would argue that the people behind it have, not the virus, so-called virus itself, but yes.
Yes. All right. The policies put in place. To
right.
That's right. A better way of putting it. You're right, Corey. So paying attention to the lymph and exercising, earthing, you can get outside, get your bare feet in the grass or on the ground, half hour, hour. Find herbs, again, either in your own backyard, buy herbs. Mountain rose herbs is a wonderful source. They are located in Oregon. Their herbs are organic, so they sell both dried herbs.
What are they called again? What are they called again? You can order them online, I'm sure. What are they called?
Mountain rose.
Mountain rose. Okay, mountain rose herbs, folks.
They have tinctures, they have salt, they have teas. It's a wonderful website. I will forewarn your audience that these are not, most of them are not inexpensive. When we are buying organic and someone has taken the time, we have to remember to grow that herb, to harvest it, to dry it, to pulverize it. And that takes time and energy. And so we need to be willing to compensate people for the product, the quality product that they have produced for us.
Especially if we're unable to grow them. You know, a lot of us are living in areas or on properties where we're just not able to grow it. So it's a major time saver.
We too often have that McDonald's mindset, where we want it fast, we want it cheap, and we want it like now, and we want it in abundance. And we've got to get rid of that McDonald's mindset. And I'm not saying it's McDonald's fault, but again, that drive-through.
No, it's McDonald's fault, all right. It's McDonald's fault. Make no mistake about that.
Ronald McDonald, baby.
You probably remember the slogan, isn't it? You know, trying to appeal to the mother, like, you need a break today.
Yeah.
Take the kids out and go through McDonald's and, you know, get french fries and a hamburger and a milkshake.
Well, they're way better at marketing than they are at making hamburgers. That's for sure. I got to say.
Well, that gets back to our fast food. And unfortunately, most of the food in our grocery store. So when you shop, just shop around the perimeter where you have mostly the dairy, the butter, the fresh fruits and vegetables. When you go into those center aisles and you see the aisles of cereals and packaged pasta.
Fruit juice. That's poison. Might as well have a crossbones on it.
See, and our mothers don't know that. The pediatricians are not telling our mothers how terrible for their youngsters they give them a sippy cup full of apple juice. It's not good for them. It's there's too much sugar.
Right.
Give your child a full apple. Cut it up for them. Let them eat an apple. But apple juice or these other juices, no, sir.
Because cancer feeds on sugar. Doesn't cancer feed on sugar? Isn't that what cancer is? Isn't that beneficial?
Yep.
Cancer, right?
Yep.
But all of us have cancer. As we sit here today, all three of us have cancer cells, but our body knows what to do with them. We have dead, dying, diseased cells all the time. If we are healthy, which again gets back to fresh air, sunshine, earthing, exercise, our body knows what to do to slough them off. That's the lymph system. It's its responsibility to pull all those cells out of our body and flush them out. And we don't even know it's happening. It's happening every minute of every day, and we don't know it. But thank God that it is. There's an innate, that gets back to the innate wisdom in our body. When we do eat, we don't have to think about the digestion. We don't have to tell our saliva to start. We don't have to tell our stomach to churn and break down, or maybe that steak we just ate. Our body knows what to do. So as the caregiver of that body, we just have to feed it properly and be mindful. I mean, the other thing I think that is so, and it's becoming more popular, is intermittent fasting.
Yeah, I do that. Yep.
That's very good for the body because what you're allowing it to do is rest.
That's right.
We Americans, again, eat too frequently and often too much. And every time we eat, we spike the insulin. Even if you're eating good food, even if you're eating organic birdseed, it's going to create a spike in insulin. So all day long, your insulin is going up and down and up and down. That's not good for us. So if we do even a time restricted, if you eat from, let's say, noon until 7 o'clock p.m., and the rest of the time you allow your body to rest and you only eat during those hours, it's wonderful for the body. It helps to control blood sugar. It will help us to lose weight. I think we will have more energy. Every time we eat, a lot of energy is required to digest that food and break it all down. So if we're not eating, that energy can be used towards something else.
You know, Nancy, we're just coming to the end. We've been going way after. So it's interesting stuff for sure. I mean, you could keep talking. I know we just got to put our foot down at some point. But before we let you go, we've heard that most people are dehydrated, like the most of America are dehydrated. How important is it? I mean, how much water? Because that's a problem that I have. I don't drink enough water. I know I don't drink enough water. I get the purified water that's, you know, osmosis, reverse osmosis and all that stuff, which I've heard may be bad too, because it pulls the minerals out of the water. But that is another discussion altogether. How much water should a person drink safely, you think, a day? I mean, I shouldn't say safely. How much do they need to keep their body processes going properly, digest their food and have their cells repair and that type of thing?
Well, Jim, you may disagree with this because, again, I think we've been given an urban legend that we are supposed to have eight-ounce glasses a day.
Okay, school me.
I disagree with it. If we are in tune to our body, We will drink when we are thirsty, if we're in tune. And I would say most of us probably actually do drink more than we believe that we do. But also when we're eating vegetables and fruit, they are full of water. Look at watermelon. Watermelon is 90% water. Now, we don't necessarily know that when we're chomping down on it because we can feel the substance of the watermelon in our mouth, strawberries, cantaloupe, whatever.
Celery.
Yes. So there is a lot of water in fruits and vegetables. So we're probably actually getting more than we think that we are. So if we are in tune, and this is where we need to learn to listen to our body, we will get a thirst, not a hunger, but a thirst response that then we should, yes, drink purified water. Now, reverse osmosis and or distilled. And I'll be honest, Jim, I like distilled. And that's another urban legend that distilled water will pull out your minerals. What distilled water will do is take out the organic minerals that you weren't going to use anyway. Let's say there was an excess and you were going to shed those anyway. And so distilled water just helps the process along. It is not robbing you of the minerals that your body needs. But most of us, I mean, magnesium is another capsule that we should have in our emergency stash. Most of us are low in magnesium. And that helps with muscles so that we don't get stiff. So
it's amazing how, sorry to interrupt you, Nancy. It's amazing how many bodily functions require magnesium. Well, I mean, yeah. If you just look into it, it's like the mineral. It's like the miracle mineral. I mean, it's like we use it for so many things.
That's the one thing I'm majorly lacking in.
Yeah, I know. I have to take something. Yep. I take these big purple pills, these big purple magnesium pills.
I do too. And they're hard to get down.
They're huge. They're giant. They're big. They're huge. I hate them.
But I think I would notice the difference if I quit taking them for a week or two. I think I'd wake up in the morning and probably feel 100 years old and, you know, have a hard time getting out of bed feeling stiff. And when we take our magnesium, our muscles aren't stiff. And of course, it helps prepare tissue. It helps pull water into the bowel so that we are not constipated. If you know someone that's constipated, they should be taking magnesium because it pulls water into the bowel.
I didn't know that. That's an interesting. I didn't know that. That's interesting. Okay, good.
It also helps us to sleep. I don't know if you knew that either. It's probably wise to take magnesium before you go to bed. And maybe you can find a smaller tablet so you can take a smaller dose.
Or powder form. I got powder form.
Yes. Calm, C-A-L-M. Calm is a very good product.
My daughter uses that to help sleep. Yeah, she had problems sleeping. We're just coming on. This is, I think, one of the longest interviews that we've done so far. That's good. That's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. That's all good.
It's good. It's good stuff.
It is good stuff. Corey, I've been, feel like I've been monopolizing here. I didn't mean to do that. Is there anything that you want to say, sweetheart, or anything you want to get across or talk to Nancy about or ask her before we go ahead and start winding things down?
No, I think we hit on all my notes I had written down plus some. So I certainly appreciate you being here with us today, Nancy. And this is some great information. I'm sure people will get some good tips out of this.
I hope so.
So let me just recap here real quick. So if you took those books that you held up earlier and then went to that Mountain Rose website and used the book as a reference, you could literally look through the book, go to the website, pick the herbs that you want and send them right. I mean, is that conceivable? What I'm just talking about, that little routine I just spoke about?
Yes. And, you know, you can go online, too. When I started a lot of this journey 25 years ago, there wasn't much online. And now there is so much information, as you know, on the Internet. You can go to wonderful websites like Mike Adams or Dr. Mercola. And I know there's plenty of others. Dr. Group is excellent. Josh Axe is another good source. Many of them chiropractors, believe it or not.
Yeah.
There are some MDs out there. And look, they can make say, recommendations for herbs as well. Or books are wonderful. If we lose, let's say, electricity, if we lose the internet, we want our books so that we can go to these, because there's so much to know and so much to learn, and we won't remember it all. So
don't have it on your Kindle. Don't have it on your Kindle is what you're saying, because it'll be erased.
Exactly. It very well could be. And you know, if the lights go out, we're going to want books. We're going to want games. We're going to want, we're going to have to occupy our minds and our hands and our times and get knowledge. And there's knowledge in books. We've lost so much of this. My husband recently went hunting here in Montana and took a bull out. And the taking the elk, shooting the elk is probably the easiest part. Now, how do you get it home? And once you get it home, how do you get that off the bone? How do you now cut that butcher? He's not a butcher, never been trained as a butcher. So again, books that show you the body parts and how to do these things, and then even how to preserve it, how to salt it, how to turn it into jerky. We're going to need to know these things. We're going to have to go back and get more the mindset of the pioneers.
That's right. I agree.
And we have lost that. We've lost, as a modern peoples, we have lost our touch with nature, and we need to get it back.
That's what we need to do an episode on, James. It might be a little grotesque for some people, but actually, like, butchering and going through the whole process from hunting, you know?
Yeah, I've done that lots of time. I mean, I technically know how to do that. Not that I, like, want to get all bloody and everything, but I do know how to butcher animals and everything. Yeah, I've
done lots of time. I might not be able to watch it myself.
No,
I
got a big
stomach.
Just don't give it a name before you kill it. That's the main thing. Don't name it.
Jeez.
Andy.
No. Oh, jeez.
Right. Oh, goodness. Okay. Nancy O'Brien, I tell you, it was great having you here. A lot of those great stuff, the great stuff. I'm going to get that book that you held up. I didn't realize, I mean, you've heard of it before, but I didn't realize all the great benefits of herbs and tinctures and all that stuff. I haven't been utilizing my feet nearly enough. I can tell you that.
See, well, maybe in the final thought would be these things from nature, whether it's essential oils, which come from nature, or herbs, these have a frequency. These have life.
That's right.
That's why they work. They harmonize with us. Now, modern medicine and pharmaceuticals that are made out of petroleum does not resonate with us. That's why they heal. Even the homeopathics, these little teeny tiny pellets. In fact, Corey, the pellet I'm holding up is Cali sulfuricum, and it relieves cold with yellow nasal discharge. So if you go to the health food store, here's another one. This is ferrum phosphorus. This is for fevers and fatigue. So if you go to your health food store, you can find these. You take one of these. It holds a frequency. Mm-hmm. And all you need to do is take one of these, put it in, let's say, a stainless steel bottle of water that you might carry around with you as you go about your day. One of these, shake it up, let it dissolve, and sip on that all day long. And that is going to assist your body in whatever ailment you happen to be dealing with and what you happen
what's
to
that
be.
Called ferrous sulfate, what's that called again?
This one is ferrum, ferrum phosphate, and reduces fevers and fatigue. But there are hundreds of these, and that is a whole education in itself. One of my favorite homeopathics, her name is Scylla Whatcott, Whatcott. She has a wonderful website. She's very generous with her time. She has video interviews such as this, and she talks about homeopathic remedies. She's a PhD in homeopathic, so she certainly knows much more than I do. And she'd be a wonderful resource for your listeners to tap into and gain knowledge from her. They're wonderful for children because they're non-toxic and they're easy to take.
And you know what's perfect? I'm actually speaking with someone next week who we are probably going to get on, who is a homeopath and has an entire course created for children and families. So that's perfect. Perfect way to leave this.
Yes, Nancy O'Brien, great to have you here. It was great to have you on the Solution Series. A lot of great information. And people can, you don't have a website. You're retired now, but people can just take the information that it's evergreen. The stuff that you've said here, really don't need a website. If you play the video over, just go on our website and watch the video. Hey, how about that? So Nancy, I can't tell you how much we appreciate you being here. Thanks so much. Corey, is there anything that you wanted to say to Nancy or anything that you wanted to get out before we go ahead and close out the show?
No, I appreciate your time. Thank you so much for coming on with us and giving everyone some great tips.
Well, thank you. I appreciate the opportunity because we all need to come together.
Yep.
We all need to work together to heal ourselves and to heal our earth.
Yes.
We're in this fight together.
We are indeed.
So we're going to win. We're going to win it.
Hey, folks, we just come to the end of the broadcast. You can go to Solari.com or Corey'sDigs.com and click on the link there for the Solution Series and find out more about that if you're just seeing the preview here. And we want to thank our guest, Nancy O'Brien, for her work today and coming on the broadcast, giving us all those great tips. And I also want to thank my co-host, Corey Lynn, for being here faithful as always. And I'm James White. Northwest Liberty News is my website. We do appreciate you looking in on the Solution Series. Until next time, this is James White for the Solution Series. Saying bye now.